Welcome to episode 995 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive. 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Hebrews 1, verses 2 to 3. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Right after Adam and Eve sinned, God made a promise that a seed, or a son, would come to save them from their enemy, reclaim their lost inheritance, and fulfill the purpose for which they were created. This promised son would take their place, represent them, and ultimately defeat the serpent who had led them into sin. Initially, Adam and Eve expected this promise to be fulfilled quickly. They welcomed their firstborn son, believing he could be the deliverer. However, the fulfillment of this promise was delayed. God reiterated this promise to Abraham, assuring him he would have a seed, a son through whom all nations would be blessed. He gave a similar promise to David, saying that one of his descendants would be established as God's own son, and would rule justly over all the earth's kings. None of them. Not Adam and Eve, not Abraham, not David. Likely imagined that this promised Redeemer would actually be God himself in human form. At the opening of Hebrews, we see that the author, for the sake of argument, let's call him Paul, was convinced he was living in the last days. In the Bible, there are two distinct phrases used to talk about the future. Last days, or latter days, which the prophets used to refer generally to the future, and the time of the end, which the prophet Daniel used to describe the final period of Earth's history. Various Old Testament prophets foretold that in the latter days, God would raise up a king who would defeat the enemies of his people and draw all nations to Israel. Paul declares that these prophecies have been fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus conquered Satan and is drawing all people to himself through the gospel. Thus, the last days have already begun because Jesus has begun fulfilling God's promises. Our spiritual ancestors held on to their faith, trusting in God's promises even though they did not live to see them fulfilled. Today, however, we have seen these promises realized in Jesus. Consider what God promised through Jesus. The Father promised to raise his children from the dead, and this began with the resurrection of Jesus. He promised to create a new heaven and a new earth, and he has started this process by creating a new spiritual life within us. God also promised to establish his final kingdom, which began with Jesus' victory over Satan and his installation as king. Yet all these are just the beginning. What God began with Jesus' first coming, he will complete at his second advent. The core message of Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 to 4 is that God has spoken to humanity through his son, Jesus. For Jews living in the first century AD, it had been a long time since they had heard a direct word from God. The last messages recorded in scripture had come through the prophet Malachi and the ministries of Ezra and Nehemiah, some 400 years earlier. Now through Jesus, God was speaking to them once more. However, this revelation through Jesus was far greater than any previous revelation delivered through the prophets. Jesus himself is a superior revelation because he is God in the flesh, the creator and ruler of the universe. For Paul, the divine nature of Christ is never in doubt. It is an established truth. The Old Testament was also God's word, and it conveyed a true understanding of God's will. Yet the full meaning of the Old Testament became clear only with the coming of the Son. Paul suggests Jesus provides the ultimate key to understanding the breadth and depth of the Old Testament, much like a picture on a jigsaw puzzle box helps one see how all the pieces fit together. Jesus brought clarity and understanding to many of the Old Testament's messages. Moreover, Jesus came as our representative and Savior, taking our place in the battle against evil and defeating the serpent. In Hebrews, he is referred to as the pioneer, captain, and forerunner of believers. He fights on our behalf and represents us before God. This means what God accomplished for Jesus, he also intends for us. Just as the Father exalted Jesus to his right hand, he also desires for us to share in Jesus' glory and to sit with him on his throne. Hebrews 1 verse 3 says this about Jesus: he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. The glory of God in the Old Testament refers to the Father's manifest presence among his people, often depicted as brilliant light or radiance. The Bible reveals that Jesus is the light who came into the world to manifest God's glory. Think, for example, of the Transfiguration, where Matthew says, "His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light." Just as we cannot see the sun except through its light, God is made known to us through Jesus. The two are inseparable from our point of view. Since God's glory is light itself, Father and Son are identical in essence and character, just as light and its radiance are one. Hebrews also describes Jesus as the exact representation of God's being. This metaphor indicates a perfect correspondence in essence between the Father and the Son. While human beings were created in God's image, we do not share His divine essence. The Son, however, shares the very essence of the Father. This is why Jesus could declare, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." Hebrews asserts God created the world through, or by, Jesus, and that Jesus upholds the world with His powerful word. Several Old Testament passages emphasize the Lord declaring Himself as the sole creator of the world, stating He created it alone and is the only God. How do we reconcile this with New Testament claims God created the universe through Jesus? Some might argue Jesus was simply a tool or instrument through whom God created, but this interpretation is not accurate. First, the apostles regarded Jesus Himself as the Lord who created the world, not merely an assistant. For example, Hebrews chapter 1 verse 10 declares Jesus as the Lord who made the heavens and the earth, and the author applies to Jesus the words from Psalm 102 verses 25 to 27, which refer to Yahweh as creator. Additionally, Hebrews 2:10 states that the universe was created by or through the Father, using the same expressions found in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2 about Jesus. Thus, both Father and Son are described as the creator, working in perfect harmony. This reflects the mystery of the Trinity. Jesus is God, and God is the creator, affirming that there is only one creator. Furthermore, Hebrews 4 verse 13 reveals that Jesus is also the judge. His authority to judge and rule stems from His role both as creator, the one who brought the world into existence, and sustainer, the one who keeps the universe going. Hebrews 1 verse 3 and Colossians 1 verse 17 also affirm that Jesus upholds the universe. This concept of sustaining likely includes the idea of guidance or governance. The Greek term phaeron, sustaining, carrying, is used to describe forces that propel or direct, such as the wind driving a boat or God leading the prophets. In this way, Jesus not only created the universe, but also continues to sustain and guide it. Every breath, every heartbeat, every moment of our existence is rooted in Him, Jesus, the foundation of all creation. In Hebrews 1:5, the Father speaks to Jesus saying, "You are my Son, today I have begotten you." What does it mean He was begotten, and when did this take place? Does this imply, as some believe, Jesus was created by God at some point in the distant past? When the Bible says that Jesus was begotten, it means that He was appointed or declared by God to be the promised King, the Son of David. This begetting is not about Jesus being created or having a beginning. Rather, it refers to God confirming Jesus' role as the rightful ruler and the one who would fulfill His promises to David. Jesus has always existed as God, but in His resurrection and ascension, He was publicly recognized and exalted as the Son of God with authority over all nations. Hebrews 7 verse 3 states that Jesus has neither beginning of days nor end of life, because He is eternal. Thus, the term only begotten Son relates to Jesus' role in God's plan of salvation, not His divine nature. Through His incarnation, Jesus fulfilled all the covenant promises made by God. The book of Hebrews reveals that Jesus is the promised Son of God, foretold from the very beginning to be our Savior and King. As the Son, He fulfills all of God's promises, taking on human form to represent us, redeem us, and restore what was lost. In His life, death, and resurrection, Jesus is exalted as the rightful heir of all things, the one who fully embodies the Father's glory and brings us into His eternal kingdom. By being both fully God and fully man, Jesus bridges the gap between heaven and earth, giving us access to the Father and securing our place as children of God. Let us hold fast to this truth. In Jesus, the promised Son, all of God's plans and purposes find their ultimate fulfillment. How will you respond to the promised Son? Father, thank you for revealing yourself to us through your Son, Jesus. Help us to grasp the depth of His love and the fullness of His work on our behalf. Strengthen our faith and guide us to live in the light of your promises, reflecting your glory in all we do. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the fullest today.